amen.
Put something right there and turn with me to Genesis. In Genesis chapter 1. Sometimes you got to pray to get direction here. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. I'm not sure what I name this, but just entitle it whatever you want. Praise God. You know, whatever seems appropriate. All right, I'm going to start reading in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." Now, if you would get some two faxes just came in back there while I was back there. I want them because I asked for some definitions of something, and I want to read that. What I'm going to center around and talk to you tonight is a time of dominion. Yes. There's my wife right there. Now, if you won't tell, I won't tell. Okay? Okay, let's just keep it right there. Now, this is interesting, the word dominion. Now, this definition came out of the Webster 1828 dictionary. I have one. We sell them in the bookstore because those dictionaries from back in time give you more of a precise definition of the word according to the scriptures. Some of the words have changed in their definitions a little bit in the more modern times. Dominion says, number one, sovereign or supreme authority. The power of governing and controlling. Sovereign or supreme authority. The power of governing and controlling. It says in Daniel, the dominion of the Most High is an everlasting dominion. Another definition, power to direct, control, use, and dispose of at pleasure. Man, that's good. Power to direct, control, use, and dispose of at pleasure. Now, another definition, it says government. Right of governing. Now, I won't go any further than that. Dominion. Now, dominion is a word that I talked about a little bit on Sunday, and I talked about it because it seems that it carries with it a little bit different attitude than a lot of times we carry in the church. Because when you see two basketball teams playing against each other, or two football teams, and one just runs away with the thing. I mean, just it's ridiculous how badly the other one was beat. We said that this team dominated them. Because domination gives me the feeling that they didn't just beat them. They dominated them. Are you following what I'm saying? A little bit different attitude. And I sense that a lot of times the church hasn't had a dominion mindset. It hasn't had a mindset of dominating. He said here, he created, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion. And here again, I said that this means sovereign or supreme authority, the power of governing and controlling, the power to direct, control, use, and dispose of at pleasure. Nothing should exist in this earth without Adam's permission. Let them have dominion. He's going to govern it. And this, what I've been teaching on, I go out other places. Last night I taught in Milwaukee on a time of restoration, bringing things back to where they were. And I really believe that is exactly what God is doing, is he's bringing the church back to where the church was as we were supposed to function from Adam. Say, he's almost making it like there was no downfall. He is starting right where before Adam sinned and taking it right on through. He's going to restore the years. Are you following what I'm saying? And so this idea of dominion is one that is, you have to almost think about it, meditate on it, and see yourself in a, I don't mean this in some kind of a selfish way, but see yourself superior to the things, circumstances, whatever's going on around you, that, wait a minute, hold on, you can't do that unless I say so. Are you following what I'm saying? Disease, you're going to have to do what I tell you to do. This is dominion now. This is not saying I'm competing with the devil. Turn to Luke chapter 10, please. Take time. All right. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 11. 10, pardon me. Chapter 10. Let me know when you get there. Are you there? It says here in Luke chapter 11, 10, praise God. After these things, the Lord appointed another 70 also and sent them two and two before his face unto every city and place whither he himself would come. So he sent them out. He said, therefore, he said to them, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Now I want you to go your way. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. You don't need to carry any purse or any money or shoes or salute, or extra shoes or salute any man in the way. Whatever house you enter, first say, peace be into this house. Let's drop all the way down in verse 8. And into whatever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things as set before you, and heal the sick that are therein. And now this is a mandate. This is not an option. When you go in there, heal the sick that are in there. I want you to take dominion over disease and anything that's against heaven, take dominion over it. And tell them that the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. Now, verse 17, and the 70 return again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject to us through your name. Verse 18, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Verse 19, behold, I give unto you what? Power. To what? Tread on serpents. Keep going. And scorpions. And over all the power of the enemy. Keep going. And nothing shall be any hurt you. Now this is dominion that I'm talking about now, because serpents and scorpions is figurative language for demonic forces. So I'm going to give you power over all the demonic forces that are in there. I want you to understand that whatever power he's got, you've got more power. That make any difference. Whatever's going on, who's ever died prematurely, who's ever gotten sick, who's ever so forth and so on, I'm giving you dominion. He's taking them back now because he's preparing them for the book of Acts. And in this, I'm just saying with us, there has been a timidness or passiveness, I think, on the part of the church regarding its role that it is to play in this earth concerning taking over and bringing this earth back into the hands of this rightful ownership. There has been a little bit there. Lord have mercy. When you know that you have sovereign, let me read it again. Lord have mercy. When you know that you have the power to direct, control, use, or dispose of at pleasure anything in this earth, that means that you can go in, and if governments are out of line, you can pull them back in line. Now, see, we still not, I can tell you, y'all still ain't getting a hold of this thing. All right, let's look at another place. Let's go, because we talked about this before. Let's go to Psalms chapter 110. Now, I'll tell you what's leading me into this. Vengeance and recompense. Psalm chapter 110. Let me know when you get there. It says here, verse 1, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord said, shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. In the beauties of holiness, from the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth. Stay with me. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Let's go to another place. Psalm 66. Psalm 66. I will start reading at verse 3. Say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works? Through the greatness of thy power shall thy enemies submit themselves unto thee. Through the greatness of thy power shall thy enemies submit themselves to thee. Now, what are the enemies going to submit? Well, let's see, you've got to see. let me take you to a verse. Let's go to Exodus And Exodus chapter 7. The enemy was holding Israel. Egypt was used to hold Israel in slavery. But God sent a man down there named Moses, didn't he? But isn't it interesting? He said this in Exodus 7 and verse 1, "And the Lord said unto Moses, See, I have made you a God to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be your prophet. Thou shalt speak all that I command you." Now, if God is going to tell you to say something, you can believe God is not going to tell you to say something that is real Kool-Aid, real passive. Come on now, Wally Cox, he's going to give you some bold words. If you ever hear from God, he tells you to speak, you watch what comes out of your mouth. If you speak what he says, speak. Got it? So he's going to tell Moses to tell Pharaoh, let him go. And if you don't let him go, I'm going to put this plague is going to come. Now, Moses got to say this. Look what he did in verse 8. Or verse 7. Let me show you how old Moses was. Moses was 80 years old, and Aaron was 83 years old when they spake unto Pharaoh. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, When Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, Show a miracle. Now, what am I telling you? Until power is on display, release will not come. This is very important for you. That a lot of times what happens is we go in a situation, we're trying to talk somebody out of something. And I understand that, and we're trying to negotiate and whatever have you. But do you know God is not a negotiator? This is the way this is going to be. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, Moses, of course, went in at that time. Abraham prayed and said, Lord, if you find 50 in there, we destroy it and so forth. He was interceding. But I'm telling you right now, God already got his mind made up. But he knows that if you go in there to release somebody out of the hands of the devil, you're going to have to go with power. Because power is the language that the devil speaks. He doesn't know any other language. And what has happened? The church is supposed to be a powerhouse. I'm saying that he said it over in James. Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them anoint him with oil. Oil symbolizes the power of the Holy Ghost. Let them anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if there have been any sins, he'll be forgiven. So I don't care what kind of sin got him in this kind of trouble he's in. If you anoint him with oil, it'll remove the sin and also destroy the works of Satan and heal the person. Are you with me now? I'm just saying that whatever's in there, it doesn't make any difference. Whatever's perverted. I mean, they could come in switching, but they're going to leave out walking straight. I'm talking about men. I'm saying that you got to understand this power is something that's reserved for the church in the last days. And I'm talking about dominion and power that God has reserved for the church. So the church is going to rule and reign in the midst of her enemies. And the way the church is going to do that is through power. I said power. Now, I know this doesn't mean a lot to you because, you're still just trying to make it every day. I'm saying that power, you got that power. Lord have mercy. See, that system is out. Lord have mercy, Jesus. turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Glory to God. I think some things have been delayed in our lives because we didn't have any power. And I think we need to resolve ourselves that we're going to get back to the power that God has for the church so that our enemies will submit. And because Satan was holding the children and delaying them from their release, and I'm saying something may be delaying your money, something may be delaying your husband, something may be delaying so forth and so on, and I'm telling you, it's time for power. It's time that Satan let go of everything. Lord, have mercy. Look what it says here, and Paul is talking here about himself. Verse 4. He said, my speech and my preaching was not in the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the what? Demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Why? That your faith will not stand in the wisdom of men. Keep going. But in the power of God. But in the power of God. The church needs power to manifest sonship. Power is what existed on Adam at the beginning. Lord have mercy. So this power is above every other power. Let's go to Matthew chapter 15, please. I don't care whether you don't get it at first. You'll get it later on. I want you to walk in a room and know that you're full of power. Say amen to that. I want you to walk in a place like you own something. Because you do. But it takes power to transfer. No more, see, that's why I'm preaching that on Sundays. Because no more this backing down and thinking because somebody has more money than you that somehow you've got to submit to them. Me, now I'm not talking about employee, supervisor, and doing what people say. I'm talking about you as a person, as a child of God, and so forth. Hey. Ain't nothing but meat, bone, and muscle. And I'm saying you walking in, you full of the Holy Ghost. You're full of the Holy Ghost. That is the power of God. That is, you are representing the kingdom of God. Man, oh Lord, I see this thing. You walk in a place, you are His representative. You are His ambassador. You're coming into a place and you don't need to be nervous about your speech. You don't need to go in and, oh Lord, I hope I say the right. Hey, that doesn't even supposed to cross your mind. You never have a negative thought because you think on these things. Whatsoever things are good and lovely and whatsoever things are true, the truth is you have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth. Now, I'm not saying take dominion over people per se, but I'm saying this, that if something's out of line, I got to put it back in line. And because you are who you are, you can speak things because there's a king in you and kings decree. And whatever I decree, I expect to come to pass. Now, I'm talking about power. Folks, I told you that time when we were witnessing in Minnesota, and I had a couple people with me. One was a guy named Joe, and we went down to this place, and here's a guy standing on the corner trying to sell watches. Hey, y'all want to buy a watch? And so forth, pull his sleeve up, all these watches. I said, brother, I said, let me talk to you about Jesus, man. Let me talk. I put my hand on his shoulder. Soon as my hand touched his shoulder, something knocked me back, knocked him back against the wall. Watches went everywhere because he had his little tray and so forth. Knocked Joe. Joe is about, what, 6'6", whatever he is. And knocked him back. And he, Joe said, what was that? It was the power. Yeah. Now, understand, I said, brother, I said, something's on you, brother. I said, let me tell you. I said, who are you, man? Where you come from? He said, I used to be a preacher. My God. I'm telling you, God knows how to display his power. Yeah. But it's mighty power.
Yeah.
It's power that is on an unusual level. Lord have mercy. Let me give you my note. Now, this power is in you. This power is on you. Now, we're going to talk about that in just a minute. But this is, it's with you. Don't be trying to sit there and feel it. It's with you right now. But it's for you confronting Pharaoh. It's for you going up against demonic things. Because the enemies will submit because of your power. The days of trying to talk the devil out of your house are gone. Telling you, they'll laugh at you. You got to understand there's something greater one is in you. And there's some power in you that every devil must submit. And I'm telling you, if you carry an attitude in you of dominion, Jesus did not fight a single devil. You never saw him do that. I'm telling you, he is my example. Thank God for Oral Roberts. Thank God for Lester Summerall. Thank God for them. But I'm telling you, my ultimate example is Jesus. He said what he did, I can do too. Now, if he can walk up on a shoreline and a man demonic possessed who they tried to put in shackles and he broke them, and they put him all the thing on his ankles and he broke them, and no man could tame him and no man could even come by that way. If he came there and the moment he stepped on the shore, the demon came up to him and kneeled at his feet, then he got to kneel at my feet. If the same power is in me and the devil knows that power and I know that power is in me, somebody gonna have to kneel here. I've had people come in my office and I know they came in there to tell me a lie, but when they got in there and all that anointing was in there, next thing they know they're telling me everything, and I know they didn't intend to tell me, but that anointing will make them give it up. It will break down everything that the devil is trying to put through their lives. Say amen to that. That's the power. I told you about that old lady was out there in that hut out there in the middle of nowhere, and these guys broke out of jail, out of prison, and one of them made his way to her house out there on that farm, and she was cooking, and he broke in the door with a gun, said, put him up. And the lady turned around, she, older lady, she said, you better put that gun down and get something to eat, and came and went and kept cooking. Next thing you know, she took him back to jail. Because the anointing can be seen when you represent the kingdom. Let me just give you a spiritual picture. Angels are with you. Angels carry the presence of God. It's an anointing. It makes everything give way. It makes anything, it doesn't make any difference. It's strong, it's powerful, and they are with you. If you know they're with you, you walk in anyway. That's why I told you on Sunday, no more, you will never be molested again. You will never be, all that is gone. You will never be that again. I'm putting something in you that you know greater is he that is in me and around me than he that is in the world. This is the dominion I'm talking about. I'm talking about coming back to a place where you can say something and know that it's done. Somebody said, well, how do you know it's going to happen? Because I said it. That's how I know it's going to happen. Are y'all with me? Now, I know some people don't like this kind of talk because they think, well, that's arrogance. No, that's not arrogance, because that's what they accused David of. They said, get back and keep those sheep. You up here trying to show out. That's arrogance you've got. He said, no, wait a minute. Is that not a cause? Here's that big guy, Goliath. He's cursing your gods, and you gonna let him open his mouth and keep saying that? He said, let me at it. Now, this is a young boy who didn't even have a weapon that we know about. He just had a slingshot. He took that slingshot and slung it, and that rock. Now, you got a slingshot. Somebody slings a sling and hits somebody with a rock. It's going to hit their head, drop to the ground, and put a giant-sized hickey on their head. Am I right? That is not what the scripture said. This rock sunk in his head. The angels took it the moment he released it. Some of y'all got to see what I'm talking about. Y'all with me? Is this making sense to you, or am I just? Let me tell you something. What you are producing is a direct indication of the food you've been eating. Are you following what I'm saying? The church has been on this Twinkie diet. I mean, you know that's true, because somebody even say something to somebody, they get all thrown out and mad and huffy. So what? That's a baby that gets all insulted and so forth. Man, you're supposed to rise up on another level. But that's based on what you're eating. See, listen, when they came back, can I just talk to you a minute? They came back from spying out that land. It was 12 spies. 10 of them said something that agreed with the senses, but it didn't agree with God. They said they're giants in the land, true. The walls are high, true. Here is the fruit, true. We can't take it, false. Got it? So I'm saying, it's interesting. I think a lot of the preaching has been preaching that agrees with your intelligence, with your sense knowledge. And what we need to do is quit that. I need to tell you about something that your mind doesn't agree with. I need to tell you, amen. Those two said, let us go up at once and partake and possess it, for we are well able. And what did the others do with them? They wanted to stone them. They wanted to kill the preachers who were preaching the truth. I call them all preachers. So I say the reason that the church is where it is because of the leadership. Now, here's what I believe. I believe that the church is coming back to the local church. It's hard to get things out of God without committing to God. Now, are y'all following what I'm saying here? I'm saying a word that a lot of people don't use today is sanctified. But there's something to that. I say it like this: you can't run with the rabbits and hunt with the hounds. Are y'all with me? All right, I'll tell you what, because I see right now. No. You ain't gonna fool me. I'm gonna make sure this thing is in you and down in there. Come on, and it won't come out. See, I told you about that bump. That I really believe we're going into a time. Now think about it. The technology of the world is just giving you an indication of what's happening in the spirit. And I told you when my son asked me, do you have dragon dictation on your telephone? I said, well, what's that? He said, well, let me show you. I have it. And he spoke into his phone. And as he spoke, it wrote right in the phone. And then he said, now I can just send it right to an email. Hit the thing, boom, sent to the email. I said, man, I need that. He said, well, do you have bump? Well, I didn't know it because my people take care of my phone. And I said, I don't know. He said, yeah, you got it right here. He said, give me your phone. I took him, gave him my phone. He took it and boom, bumped it. And then Dragon Dictation application slid right over off his phone over into my phone. Got it? With one bump, with one sermon, it's going to change your life forever. Whatever's in me is going to bump right into you. I know that's what's happening now. You got what I'm saying? And you're going to be able to operate right where I am day one. It's not going to take a year for you to grow in there. It's going to bump you right over. And listen, folks, it's time to receive the bump. Because I know some stuff, and I can just bump you just one time. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, notice what that didn't do. I didn't have to take it back over Sharon and them, having them come in and get the application and program it down. And I could have done all of that, but that would have taken time. But if I could just get a bump right quick, I can go around the process and just get the application just transferred right into me. So I can get the revelation just transferred right into you just with one encounter with the man of God. So we're not talking about just a teaching up here. We're talking about a impartation. Oh, have mercy. There it is right there. We're talking about, we're talking about an impartation. Are you following what I'm saying? Say amen to this. All right, let me just finish this. Now, I have you now where? Come on, where I have you? I can't hear you. Where do I have you? Matthew chapter 15. All right, let's look at this now. Let's look at this. This is the power that Jesus operated under. Now, here, let me, can I help? Can I say something? Yes. Now, can I really say something? Yes. I'm thinking about doing something. I'm thinking about having our teachings restricted to people who really want to hear it. Now watch what I'm just saying. I'm saying that if it comes out, and I have it right now over internet and so forth, anybody can get it. But I don't know whether I want it for anybody. This is proprietary stuff. Come on now, because it may be. Some folk, because they write letters and crazy letters, you know, and so forth. Now, I'm not talking about anybody, but you know, because you can't throw pearls before swine. That's what the Bible says. Because they'll rise up and rend you with it. They'll take it and talk about you with it. Say amen to that. Well, maybe they never should have heard it anyway. So maybe I should cut that off and make it so for only folk who are here and who are our churches and who are partners.
Say amen to that. I'm talking about my best stuff. I'm talking about, because we're going to get some bumps here. I really believe that sometimes for you to get the power, the tendency is in the world, how many people do I have? But do you know that transformation, which is a new word we're going to start bringing in, doesn't necessarily mean you got to have a lot of people. Transformation means, like some cities, they have the most churches and the biggest mega churches, but are the least transformed, meaning they have more addicts, they have more crime, they have more divorces, they have more all these things, even with the biggest churches. So just because I got a big church, doesn't mean I'm changing my city. And I'm telling you, sometimes we got to get it down to 300. Come on now, y'all follow what I'm saying here. Let's go over to that. Let's go over, Lord have mercy. I'm talking about dominion now. Because dominion doesn't have to do with how many people I got. It's got to do with the mindset that I've got. Let's go over there. Lord have mercy, I feel the Holy Ghost. Let's go to Judges and chapter 6, please. Come on, somebody. Yeah, see, what's popular? How big is your church? Well, how big is your church? No. How much influence, how much power is in that thing that you got there? Because you may have a church with 25,000 people, but ain't no power. See, the world today is entertainment minded. And sometimes entertainment then seeped into the church. Say amen to that now. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching good. And we want to come and see somebody entertain us. We want to come on now, if they ain't sweating and snotting all over the place, we ain't excited. But let me tell you, when the power really flows, power is flowing in these lights right now. And look, the lights are bright. But if the power has a short in it, notice the lights start flickering and they get dim because the power's not flowing. But notice shorts, you always see a short because it starts sparking in camp. I'm talking about what a lot of this noise, maybe it might be that the power's being shorted out. Now just hear what I'm saying now. I think you're excited about God. Thank God for that. But just don't get excited and ain't no power. Talk about here. Are y'all with me? I said, are y'all with me? It's time for some power. And for to get that power, you got to get outside of self. See, self can't be on your mind. You cannot be thinking, what are they going to say about me and have the power work? You got to say, what are they going to think about Jesus and have the power? Because you taking him to the world. I know this is right. All right. Now, where did I tell you to turn now? Judges chapter 6. All right. I don't need to go through there. Let me just tell you about it. What happened? God chose Gideon. Gideon, first of all, tried to disqualify himself. He talked about what he didn't have. But if God can use a donkey, he can use you. Are you following what I'm saying? All right. So next thing you know, Gideon goes out. Tells Gideon he's going to use him to set Israel free. Gideon goes out and picks some men. He picks 33,000, I think. That's a lot of heavyweight right there. And God said, Gideon, I know you feel comfortable with this. I'm going to put this. Can I put this in First Winston? I know you feel comfortable with this, but you got too many for me. Now, you don't have too many for you. but you got too many for me. In other words, I can't work with that many. So next thing he did, he said, now tell these what's going to happen. And they're going to get fearful. And some of them will go home. He told them what's going to happen going up against people. Some of them said, no, I'm going back to baby mama. I'm not going to here. And went on back. Then he said, how many you got now? Gideon count 10,000. Gideon, you still have too many for me. Now, I'm talking about a lot of times what it takes to change a whole city. It may not take 30,000. Maybe it just takes 300 with the power. He said, go down there and drink. And once you drink, when you drink that water, I tell you, you're going to be able to tell who's with you and who's not. And he eliminated all of them except 300. Let me tell you, I'm telling you right now, that made Gideon pretty nervous. He said, my Lord, only 300? And that's what God showed me about paying off this airplane. I was looking at how many people that I had. He said, son, wait a minute. Didn't I show you the scripture? I said, well, yeah. Turn to it. 1 Samuel chapter 14. 1 Samuel chapter 14. Is this all right if I show you this? I'm almost done. I'm out of time. That means I'm out of time. Huh? Okay. How many know that right now you're in boot camp? Really? I mean, think about it. Now, you're in a place where if you're training Marines, they're being trained for war. And when you're being trained for war, the commander doesn't ask you what you think about what he just said. Some of y'all ain't never been in this environment in your life. Man, I didn't do that at my church. You ain't at your church. God has sent you right here. Say amen to that. And do you know why you came here? Because you heard my voice. See, in the olden days, the shepherds would at the end of the day take their sheep, march them down to this place, and put them all in one sheepfold.
Yes.
Watch this. Different shepherds, different sheep.
Yes.
They didn't even have any markings on them.
Come on now.
In the morning, the shepherds would get up and walk, and their sheep would come out.
That's right. Amen.
They would know their voices.
Yes.
The reason why you're here is you know my voice. See, I understand my voice is his voice, but this is a certain sheepfold. And you heard something about that man that you came to. Come on now. Now understand, I represent the Lord, so I'm not trying to take his place. I'm only saying that's why you're here. That's why you're listening. Because you know his voice. You are drawn to the voice and the things that I teach because you're of this fold. Now, if you're of this fold, God told me and put in me what to teach you. And he told me to teach you to grow up. He told me to teach you how to take a job. He told me to teach you how to cancel a debt. He told me, come on now, how to heal the sick. Because you can't go to no other fold. You got to stay here until the Lord says differently.
Amen.
Say amen to that. Sit down, Doc. You follow what I'm saying? Now, I'm saying with us, he's put inside of me a warrior spirit. That's part of me, folks. That's why I preach like I do. A punk preacher. He didn't put in me some Twinkies. Come on now, some alphabets. He put in me some meat and potatoes and green beans and butter beans and sauce and gravy. Ah, hallelujah. Boy, when you hear that cry, that's a warrior cry right there. That means we're about to do something with the devil. Hey, about to pull him down. Woo. Sit down, let me finish this. Y'all got me acting up over here. But that's the truth. Yeah. All those shepherds would come down there, one by one, they'd come out, call their sheep, the sheep would follow them. They knew their voice. And watch this, he knew them all by name. And I think I know you all in the spirit. Every one of you. Isn't this wonderful? Last place, praise God. Okay, let me just finish that. So, through the greatness of thy power, enemies are going to submit to you. This is the power era of the church. And the church is now taking its rightful place and its rightful leadership as manifesting the sons of God. And until power is on display, release will not come. Power is a principal requirement for total release. Write that down. Power is a principal requirement for total release. One more time. Power is a principal requirement for total release. There is no real advancement without power. There's no real advancement without power. So this power is above every other power now. This is not the power that the enemy can stop. This is the power that can reverse anything that the devil has done. Look what it says here. Look at verse 13 of Matthew, chapter 15, and look at verse 29. Have you got it? Matthew 15, 29. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Do y'all see what I'm talking about now? I'm just... Verse 29. For Jesus departed from thence. He came nigh to the Sea of Galilee, and he went up into a mountain and sat down there. And great multitudes came to him, and having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others. Now, maimed means they're missing a part. Am I right about that? And he cast them down to Jesus' feet, and he healed them, insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to what? Speak. The maimed to be made what? Whole. The lame to what? Walk. The blind to what? See. And what did they do? They glorify the God of Israel. All right, last place, and let's just look here at Acts chapter 1, please. Acts chapter 1. Let's look at Acts chapter 1 and Psalm chapter 45. That's it. Acts chapter 1 and Psalm chapter 45. Glory to God. I didn't get to my stuff here. Acts chapter 1. I realize there might be people in here that are not of this fold. And that's all right, because they're another fold. They don't feel quite comfortable here. They don't see the value of what we're talking about and so forth, because they're not there. It's not their shepherd. It's not their shepherd. Ain't nothing wrong with it. Just go find where you're supposed to be. That's all. Just go find where you want to be. I ain't mad at you. The last thing I want, folks, I didn't come here to have... I said, well, I'm going to go there so I can have a big ministry. I did not do that. I came here because I wanted to please God. I just follow God all the way. I'm just going to please God. I'm going to do exactly what he tells me to do. All right, look what it says here in verse 4. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. Now, notice what he's saying here. He is saying now, Jesus... you didn't see any supernatural in his life until he got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is one who endues you with power so that you could turn the world upside down. Acts chapter 17 and verse 6. So now when he says that, verse 5, For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the who? Holy Ghost, not many days hence. And they therefore will come together. When they will come together, they ask of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore, there it is, the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the time or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but you shall receive what? Power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in what? Jerusalem, in all what? Judea, and in where? Samaria, and to the what? Uttermost part of the earth. Now, this is that Holy Ghost power. Jesus had no impact on the world until the anointing came upon him in Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. Even though he was 30 years in this earth, he was just the son of Joseph the carpenter. But when the Holy Ghost came upon Jesus, he dominated. He then, his prominence was established in this earth by the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, there is no reason anymore for you to live a defeated life. Say amen to that. Now, you have been backed by heaven and the power of God, so we need to walk in that reality. Let's go to the next place. What did I say? Psalm chapter 45. Okay, Psalm chapter 45. Psalm chapter 45. And look at verse 7. You with me? Thou lovest righteousness and hateth what? Wickedness. Therefore, God, thy God, has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy what? Fellows. Now notice what he is saying here. There is a certain level of the anointing that cannot come on you without you loving righteousness and hating sin. Hello. I tell you, the church is going to be consecrated to God. And you remember back when you get a chance, read 1 Kings chapter 18. And this is when Elijah faced the prophets of Baal. He faced some people who had been eating at Jezebel's table. These are two prophets facing each other, but one of them hated sin. The other ones were participating in it. And as a result of that, notice what happened. These ones that are prophets of Baal couldn't get any power to move, but then Elijah said, step aside. He said, let me show you the power of God. He prayed a simple prayer. Let me just look at that prayer he prayed. Just 1 Kings chapter 18, and then we out. Praise God. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying you're not living perfect. I understand that. That's not what I'm talking about. But your heart is toward God. Say amen to that. Your heart, folks, we all working on something. I can guarantee you right now, I'm working on something. Because there's some folk I'm working on trying to love them. I'm still working on something. I'm just letting you know that. Because it might be you. No, that's not true. There's nobody here. Praise God. Nobody here. Hallelujah. I love you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, some people, they don't smile in church, they don't laugh, because they don't have the oil of joy. It's not on them. Poor things, they don't have it yet. But we're gonna pray for them. We're gonna pray for them that they'll love life and love to laugh. The Bible says a merry heart doeth good, just like a medicine. One man had a testimony, he laughed himself into good health. I'm telling you, you can just laugh yourself into good health. Find something to smile about, laugh about, because what's on your faith reflects what's in your heart. So what happened? Elijah built that altar up there, and they couldn't get their own God to move, or God to move for them. And then it says here, he says in verse 31, and Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar, as great as would contain 2 measures of seed.
And he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, fill four barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. Now understand, they have tried to get fire to come down from heaven, but nothing would move. Verse 34, and he said, do it a second time. And they did it. And the second time. And he said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel. Lord have mercy. I can feel that in my spirit. Let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their hearts back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell. It consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water and that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their knees and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. I'm telling you, people are looking for the power. Because notice what power does. It turns people away from false gods. And it turns them back to the one true God. Give the Lord a hand clap for that. Praise God. We're going to have dominion. Now, we covered some things here tonight, and I kept you a little long, but did you follow what I was saying here? Did you follow this? Now, and dominion is an attitude, because you have it in you already, because if you've been baptized with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking with tongue, you have been clothed with power. You really do. You have been clothed with power. Now, the way, I didn't get into it, but first thing he did is John chapter 4, Jesus met a woman at the well. And the well is the first thing you get in you. That's being born again. The Holy Spirit causes a condition inside of you to make a miracle happen. You get born again. But once after you get born again, John chapter 7 takes over, out of you shall come a river of living water. That's the baptism in the Holy Ghost. So notice it's a difference between a well and a river. A river generates power, a river so forth and so on. But once you got a river, now the river can be at different levels. That's Ezekiel. The river is at ankle level. The river is at waist level. The river now is over your head. That's different power levels of the anointing. And you can flow in different power levels of them. Say amen to this. This is a powerful teaching. All right. If you're here, you need to be born again. I'd like to pray for you right now. If there's somebody here and you know you're not right with God or your life is not right with Him, I want to pray with you right now. Now listen, I don't know where you stand with God, but I do know where He stands with you. Jesus died for your sins, and He wants to take you and bring you into a place where now you can be in the family of God, you can have your sins blotted out, you can get this power, and you can live undefeated for the rest of your life. If you're here right now, you know I'm talking to you. I'm not asking you to join this church tonight. Let me bring you in. If God says this is your church, then we welcome you. If God says send you somewhere else, we'll do that. So whoever you are right now, I'm not looking at playing games. I'm looking at you now, truthfully looking at your own heart and saying, hey, I'm not right with God. I would like to be. I'd like to pray with you right now. If that's you, let me pray with you right now in the name of Jesus. So here's what I want you to do. Take a step of faith. Get up out of your chair. Come on up here and stand with me right here at the altar. Let me pray with you right now.